The next item is the recommendation of the Commercial Fishing Advisors Board. Sonia?
As promised, I have the recommendations for you.
Item 18? No, I'm 17.
Okay.
All the same?
I didn't.
You have TV 100 for an email.
No, this next one for you.
Here you go. Oh. Yes, I do. I don't think I take any money from them, but.
All right. You see the, anything unusual here, Sonia?
Not really, except that we had more requests than funding was available. We had $319,494, and the projects that the Commercial Board has recommended total $316,276. Unless you have specific questions.
Any questions from the Commission?
The blue paper is different from the white paper. How?
It has the recommendation. The board met yesterday evening.
Okay.
How many projects were turned down?
Two.
What were they?
Both of them were related to mycobacteriosis and striped bass. One item was tabled from the Recreational Fishing Advisory Board, and they were seeking possibility of other funding sources. The other project has not been reviewed by the Recreational Fishing Advisory Board.
All right, before I take a motion, does anyone in the audience wish to speak to these recommendations from the Commercial Board? All right, thank you. Matters before the Commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
I would move to approve staff's recommendations concurrent with the recommendations of the Commercial Fishing Advisory Board for funding.
Is there a second to that motion? Second. Second by Mr. Chick. That is provided the money is available. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Did Dr. Jones abstain? Okay. All right. Thank you, Sonia. Very good. Requested amendments to regulations pertaining to use of gill nets in Virginia waters, conservation of bottlenose dolphins. Item 18, Jeff.
This has to do with some federal regulations that recently went into effect that will affect a number of our fishermen here in Virginia. The federal rules were designed to protect the bottlenose dolphin, a marine mammal, and sea turtles as well.
Does this require a public hearing?
Depending upon which way you want to go to it, it's more complicated than just taking something to a public hearing.
Okay.
And it may be something you might not want to act on today.
That suits me. Okay.
It is a controversial issue, unfortunately, and I think it's going to take a lot more work. You may recall back in March of 2005, we came to you, and at the time we were aware of a proposed rule that pertained to both sea turtles and bottlenose dolphins that appeared to be rather substantial in its impact to Virginia fishermen. But in meeting with federal authorities, it became clear to us that if Virginia were to take some action to protect sea turtles and bottlenose dolphins by adopting certain regulations, that in doing so, that might prevent the federal government from taking still harsher action. And that would allow us to protect some of our fisheries and some of our fishermen. Some of the things that you did back in March of 2005, you adopted a regulation that precluded the development of a monkfish fishery in Virginia waters. No one has objected to that. You amended another regulation that established certain maximum mesh sizes on gill nets and tending requirements. But in doing so, you exempted the coastal striped bass fishery from having to abide by those mesh size restrictions and tending requirements, as well as the black drum fishery. We also adopted regulations that had to do with soak time of gill nets. And in adopting all of those, we were hoping that the federal government would sort of go away on this issue and leave us alone, feeling that we had addressed the take issues with respect to dolphins and turtles. Well, in the end, they partly agreed with what we did and partly disagreed with what we did. They did agree to drop certain proposed restrictions with respect to sea turtles. Those measures would have prohibited the fishing of any gill net seven inch or greater mesh from April 16th to January 14th in certain coastal waters, and April 1st to January 14th in other areas. These would have been very substantial regulations that would have significantly impacted Virginia fishermen. They did not adopt those because of the actions that you took in March of 2005. Unfortunately, there were other measures that had been proposed that they still went forward with. Those are from June 1 to October 31. Fishermen that are fishing gill nets 5 inches and larger must remain within a half a nautical mile of the net when it's fished at night in state waters. And any gear that's fished at night must be removed from the water and stowed on board the vessel before it returns to the port. So you're either staying there with your net or you're picking it up and coming in. And that occurs from June 1 to October 31. Well, that's going to prevent us from having a black drum fishery that typically occurs in the month of June in the ocean, because fishermen typically set those gear at night and they don't stay with the gear. So there's going to be a significant impact there. There are still other provisions that were also adopted, and that is from November 1 to December 31, there will be no fishing at night in state waters, in coastal waters, and the gear must be removed from the water and stowed before the vessel returns to port. So the gear can't even be in the water at night during the months of November and December. These are large mesh gill nets. This is going to affect our coastal nighttime fishery for striped bass that it typically occurs off Virginia Beach in November, December. It's going away.
It's also going to impact the bay fishermen because they moved line up to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. I think that needs to be stressed.
The original proposal drew the line for these regulations between Cape Henry and Cape Charles so that it only applied to the 3 mile limit, the coastal waters. The final regulation draws the line at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. So it will also eliminate the nighttime gillnet fishery that occurs between the Bay Bridge Tunnel and the mouth of the bay. This is obviously a big concern to a number of fishermen. There are other smaller fisheries that we did not address in our regulations, but will also be affected by the federal rule with respect to, I guess, spiny dogfish, or rather smooth dogfish for one, and perhaps some other fisheries. The question is, what do we do about it? There is certainly an interest on part of several fishermen that the state challenge the federal government's final rule, and that is certainly one direction you can choose to go in. The other is do nothing. If you choose to do nothing about the federal rule, then it will be necessary to come back and amend the state regulations that you adopted in 2005 to conform them to the federal rule. Because right now, if a fisherman looks at our regulations, he assumes he can go fishing during the night, for instance, in November, December for striped bass, when in fact he'd be violating a federal rule.
What kind of time frame are you operating under?
What I'm waiting for right now, when the federal rule came out, You sent a letter to Dr. Bill Hogarth, the director of the National Marine Fisheries Service, a rather lengthy letter expressing your concern with the adoption of the federal rule and the impact it will have on Virginia fishermen. We have not yet had a reply to that letter. I'd like to see a reply to that letter, and I'm hoping that it will provide a basis for their decisions that we don't see in the record at this point. And that will provide us with some guidance as to what direction the commission
should
take.
Why don't you, between now and when you get that, or just have the FinFish committee keep up on this. And you brief them, and then you all kick it around there and then bring it back to the commission.
Can I say a few things there?
Yeah, sure.
I requested all my observer data from when I carried out observers. And I received it, and a couple other people have, and I've carried them quite often. There's been no takes ever inside of coal rigs at the mouth of the bay. So for to close that fishery down with no takes, I really can understand. In 13 years of observed trips on the eastern shore, there has been one take of a bottlenose dolphin. And it occurred with inexperienced fishermen from Tangier that have never been fishing in the ocean and left their nets out in a southeast storm, not realizing how bad the ocean would get. And it was a four-day soak, which is totally non-typical. You know, no one would leave their nets for 4 days in June knowing that their catch is going to be rotten. It was just an accident that happened. So, and in the last 3 years since we adopted our ocean plan, which all the takes have occurred in Virginia Beach, basically down close to the North Carolina line. Some of them actually may very well have either been in North Carolina or in the EEZ. They would have been illegal takes regardless of what way you look at it. But they are contributed to us because the boats left out of Rudy Inlet. Since we've adopted the two-quota system where you have an ocean quota, there had been no takes in Virginia for 3 years. They did not take this into account. The final rule was the exact bottlenose dolphin rule that was proposed before this state went through all the trouble, staff and commission-wise, to adopt a lot of regulations, and it changed it ditto. There was no change whatsoever in it. So I'm one of the people that Jack first mentioned. You know, they've totally disregarded anything the state's done, and I'm upset about it. And I'm upset about the fact that you inquired on why they did it and what justification they had, and they have not taken the time to address it in 2 months. Now, I know the wheels grind slowly, but in this case, I don't think they're grinding at all. I think they're waiting for it to blow over after a two-month period of time. I would be terribly upset if I wrote Mr. Pruitt and he hasn't addressed my problem in 2 months, and I would be beating on the governor's door asking why he hadn't addressed my letter in 2 months. And I think we need to be doing the same thing with Bill Hogarth's office, why he hasn't addressed anything in 2 months.
Okay. Anything else? Any other suggestions?
No, you know, we have made Senator Allen, Congresswoman Drake, Senator Warner and stuff aware of this, but really, for us to move ahead, I think we need a position for me to demonstrate that, you know, the state feels this way. What can you do to expedite things and get us moving forward?
I mean, you want Jack to bring a recommendation back, or do you want to take it to FinFish first and get that endorsement, or how you want to do it?
Either way you can do it, but like I say, FinFish endorsed this wholeheartedly because in a lot of cases our regulations are more stringent than their regulations, because they will allow large mesh all summer long, and our cutoff date for the specially exempted people at the end of June, and then you can't have them overboard again until October, and, well, November 1st. So they're allowing large mesh gear when we wouldn't allow it, but they're precluding the people that traditionally used it. It really doesn't make any sense that they won't use the data that's available. And the best science available would be the fact that we pass all these things, and since all the takes occurred in one fishery, and we have greatly curtailed that fishery, and there's been no takes since that was done, they should consider that, and they haven't.
Our best argument that we presented to them was that in 2003, you split the striped bass quota such that rather than 1,200 fishermen fishing for striped bass in the ocean, we now have 38 fishermen fishing with gill nets in the ocean. So we've dropped the number tremendously. That means less gill nets in the water, less effort that potentially could snag a bottlenose dolphin. And since we've done that, there have been no takes, as Ernie has said. But apparently that wasn't. It's not clear to us whether they even used data from the most recent years. It appeared to us, just on what we have read in the record, that they looked at the number of takes up to 2003 and did not look at more recent years. That's why we're waiting for this response from Dr.
Maybe Hogarth. I think Ernie's right enough to give Hogarth a call in the morning to do it. We can find out. Then go from there.
That would be my, I mean, not to hear from somebody in 2 months, I think it's pretty bad. I mean, if you can't get something out of a phone call and get a response, I think we need to send another strong letter with a copy to the governor.
So,
all right.
On this, we just table action.
Today,
I move we table action on this item until we.
I don't think we have to do that. Leave it on the table.
All right.
The next item is the request for a public hearing next on the Hampton Roads Relay area, which is pretty cut and dried.
That's right, Commissioner. This issue was actually before the commission last summer at the July and August meetings. In fact, on the second page of your eval, I've included the meeting minutes from the August public hearing. For the board members that have been around long enough, you realize that the issue of extending the shellfish relay area season has been before you for the past several years. In fact, since 2001, an extension has been approved for every season. Last August, it was requested by Roy Inslee that this that an extension from it would typically end August 15th. An extension through September 30th would be made permanent. At the August meeting of last year, I believe it was the pleasure of the commission to do such. However, we had already advertised and had it set in an emergency regulation that the date was to expire on September 30th of 2005. This public hearing would, the request for the public hearing would be to amend the regulation to simply take out the 2005 so that now on a permanent basis that relay season will be open till September 30th.
All right. Joe, any other comments? What's the pleasure of the commission on public hearing for July?
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, move to advertise for a public hearing to amend 4 VAC 20-566-10 at the July meeting.
Seconded by Mr. Badden. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Anything else come before the commission from the staff? We do have, we're going to adjourn in a little different form right now. And I'm asking Mr. Garrison to give us a benediction. Russell?
Maybe we stand.
Dear God, we thank you for letting us live and be a part of the richest and greatest society mankind has ever known. We thank you for a nation of freedom and pursuit of happiness. We thank you for Virginia and its many places to live, work, and play. We have a truly enchanting environment. We ask your blessing to rest upon the Pruitt family. We thank you for Bill's unselfish dedication during his public service career in the Commonwealth. As you have in the past, guide him in his later, greater years. May your blessing rest upon him and his family in their future endeavors. May the sun always shine in their faces. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations.